Hello, this is Mike, and it's good to be with you again. I'm tempted to christen myself Heatwave Mike because this is the third time I've done this editing in a heatwave this summer. Mm-hmm. And 3 out of 5 isn't bad, really, is it? But anyway, welcome to the Didcot, Abingdon and Wantage Talking Newspaper Dawn, recorded on a very hot and sticky 12th of August 2026. It's also the occasion of a solar eclipse. And all of that will doubtless be history by the time you get to listen to this, because hopefully it will have cooled down a bit and you'll be listening in coolness. As usual, you'll hear a number of items from local sources. We hope you enjoy them. We also bring you extra items from the RNIB magazine service at the end of the recording. So today you'll hear readings from Ruth and Martin and me. And our thoughts are with Sandra Kay, who would have loved to be reading this evening, but she's resting after a hospital procedure. So we wish her well with that recovery. John's our technician, and in the office we've got Huda and Karen. Tony has compiled the new items from the RNIB magazine service, so thanks to him for doing that. So we start this week with news of how the heat wave is affecting local business.
Hello, this is Ruth. Heatwave having big effect on business. An Oxfordshire pottery business owner is losing tens of thousands of pounds because of the heatwave. Scorching temperatures mean Charlotte Manser is unable to fire the kilns because the computer's cut off when the room becomes too hot. The 31-year-old said she had been operating at one-fifth of her capacity since May due to the prolonged heat, with temperatures inside the workshop hitting over 40 degrees in recent weeks. This has meant she is only able to fire one kiln at a time. Now, Charlotte Manser Ceramics, which is based in a barn near Wantage, is struggling with added costs, reduced hours and a huge backlog. Ms. Manser said, "There are quite a few challenges when you are firing 5 different kilns, and they turn off when the room gets too hot. Since the middle of May, we have been at really low capacity with our firing. It significantly lowers the amount of stock we produce. The room is hot, and we're also unloading a kiln which is hot. It is too uncomfortable and we are just not prepared for this weather as a country and as a business." Ms. Manser, who started her business 6 years ago, said she has tried to fix the issue with aircon units and extractor fans, but the barn is still too hot. She has looked at getting more ventilation for the room to draw the hot air out, but they were quoted £10,000 for this to be installed. The potter has been working earlier hours from 6 a.m. to try and avoid the peak of the heat, but sending her 5 staff members home early is costing her even more money. It is also costing her double to fire the kilns due to the price of reheating them after they had turned off. She added, "It's quite a significant cost for a small business. We have had to send staff home early, which is then an expense for me because I still have to pay them, but they are not producing. It's my responsibility to make sure my employees are in a safe place. When people are getting so hot that they are getting headaches, then that is not a safe environment. The business is also making much less money as they have been producing less stock and have needed to cancel pottery classes due to the conditions. The company would normally fire around 2,000 products a week, but are now making closer to 500. At this time of year, which is usually a quieter season, they would be preparing for their peak time of Christmas, but they have been unable to due to the backlog. The delay has also meant Ms. Manser was unable to take on a wholesale order for September, costing tens of thousands of pounds alone. Ms. Manser said, "Our turnover can increase 3 times in the months over Christmas. We just haven't got the kiln capacity at the moment to be able to prepare. It is very nice for your social life when the weather is sunny, but as a business, it is a bit stressful."
Hello, this is Martin. A34's worst hotspot for crashes and breakdowns. The worst section for incidents on the A34 has been revealed. Analysis by this newspaper has found Oxfordshire's northern section of the busy dual carriageway is a significant risk corridor when compared with other sections. But also a handful of junctions account for a disproportionate share of incidents, with the hotspot being at the Botley interchange, where it crosses with the A420. National Highways data shows its highwaymen have been called out to this particular area 133 times since 2023. Data collected via a Freedom of Information request has broken down collisions and crashes, the severity of which is not specified. What's more, it does not include police calls where the more serious incidents require a call out. Other major hotspots include East Ilsley with 92 incidents, Weston on the Green at 83 incidents, the Milton Interchange with 80 incidents, Pear Tree with 68 incidents, and Hinksey Hill recording 53 incidents. Breakdowns hugely outnumber collisions, the National Highway data shows. Over the past 3.5 years, there have been 4,306 calls to National Highways to broken down vehicles. But in that same time frame, 1,050 crashes have been reported, a roughly 20-80 split. The worst locations are mostly junctions and slip roads, with the biggest totals repeatedly appearing around the junctions at the A420, A44, A4130, A415 and M40 interchange points. East Ilsley and East Ilsley North, a supposedly notorious hotspot on the border with Berkshire, recorded 13 crashes with National Highways. In total, more than 5,300 breakdowns and crashes have been recorded on the A34. Greg Stone, route manager for National Highways, said, "We take issues of safety on our roads very seriously, carrying out weekly inspections identifying any issues. In recent months, we have completely resurfaced to create smoother journeys, upgraded safety barriers, and trimmed vegetation to improve visibility. Road safety is a shared responsibility, and we continue to work with partners, organisations, and road users to help us collectively achieve this ambition."
Children's author helps to put reading back on track. National Treasure Michael Rosen teamed up with a train operator in a campaign to help stop the decline in children reading. Children's author Michael read his popular book, We're Going on a Bear Hunt to Children on a Train, to help launch Great Western Railway's campaign to encourage youngsters to keep reading during the summer holidays. The rail company has added mini libraries to stations across its network, including Didcot Parkway, after a survey of more than 1,000 parents showed children spent an average of 11 hours per week in front of screens during the break from school, compared to 3 hours a week reading. It comes amid the government's National Year of Reading. Mr. Rosen said, "We're in this world. I use a screen, I type on a screen, I look up information, I read things on the screen. Question is, are there these special pleasures and special rewards from reading a book that maybe you don't get on a screen?" New measures to curb the hours children spend on their devices and protect them from online harms were announced by the government under Sir Keir Starmer this summer, including a social media ban for under-16s, which was set to come into force next spring.
Homeowners slashing prices by thousands. Homeowners in Oxfordshire have been slashing house prices by thousands to secure sales, with some postcodes seeing cuts of nearly £19,000. According to data from professional home buyers and auctioneers Property Solvers, sellers in the OX postcode area reduced their asking prices by an average of £13,213, or 2.83%, in the 12 months to August 2026. The largest reductions were recorded in OX 33, where sellers dropped prices by £18,597, or 3.82% on average. Ruben Selvanayagam, co-director of Property Solvers, said, "Although market conditions remain challenging, well-priced homes continue to sell across the country. Buyers are simply more discerning than they were a few years ago and have become much more conscious of value. The gap between asking and achieved prices often reflects sellers testing the market rather than where buyers are actually prepared to transact." The figures were compiled using Property Service Solvers Asking versus Sold Price Difference tool, which tracks discrepancy between initial listing price and final sales value recorded with HM Land Registry. Other areas with significant price drops included OX2 and OX44, where sellers reduced prices by £17,998 and £16,441 respectively. The smallest reductions were seen in OX16, Banbury, where 342 sellers lowered prices by £8,894, just 2.85%.
Plan revealed after fire ripped through homes. Plans for the restoration of a Grade 2 listed cottage have been shared just over a year from the blaze, which caused extensive fire damage. Proposals have been made to Vale of Whitehorse District Council to reinstate the historic Causeway Cottage at the Causeway, a medieval road in Steventon. The plan said, "The overriding objective is to safeguard the historic building through sensitive and proportionate repair, ensuring its continued occupation and long-term preservation. It is calling on the planning authority to view proposals as a conservation and restoration project rather than a development project, given the fire which ripped through the cottage in July last year. More than 50 firefighters rushed to the causeway at the height of the blaze, which burnt out the property's roof and caused significant internal damage. The impact can be seen in images from the day after the fire, as well as in the restoration plans, which show the situation inside the home." The proposal said, "In 2025, the property suffered a significant fire, resulting in extensive structural and fabric damage. Site inspections undertaken by structural engineers, conservation professionals and the local authority identified the property has suffered from fire damage roof structures, failure of structural timbers, damage to masonry walls, chimney instability, exposure of internal historic fabric and water ingress. It was decided that the property would continue to deteriorate if left untreated. As a result, emergency stabilisation measures were required in order to protect public safety and prevent progressive collapse of affected areas. Throughout this process, the conservation officer has been consulted and has provided guidance regarding recording of historic fabric, retention of salvageable material, structural investigations, appropriate repair methodologies, and reuse of surviving historic elements. The current proposals have been developed directly in response to these discussions and the pre-app response in order to present the minimum level of intervention necessary to secure the building's future. The proposals explain the building was listed for its special architecture and historic interest and represents the evolution of a historic rural farmstead dating from the 17th century onwards. It adds, Replacement will only occur where fire damage or structural failure has made repair unviable. The plan describes an intention to reuse historic masonry and historic timbers while using traditional construction methods to ensure consistency with its historic appearance. The incident had involved three domestic properties, according to the Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service, and there were no rescues or any injuries. Following the fire, more than £5,000 was raised for one of the impacted residents. Maddie, after a GoFundMe was set up by her employee, the American Dance School in Wantage.
PC Harper's mother visits scene of tragedy. Police Constable Andrew Harper's mother has visited the scene of her son's death amid the backlash to the possibility of his killers being released from prison early. PC Harper's mother, Debbie Adlam, who last week said the family was bitterly disappointed by the government's decision, visited the scene of her son's death. Aileen O'Connor, chairwoman of Thames Valley Police Federation, who started the petition last week, said, "The public have spoken loudly and clearly that they are behind our campaign, which is absolutely amazing. And I just want to thank each and every one of the people who have taken the time to sign our petition. We will continue to drive this. We will not stop. Please keep signing. Please keep sharing. My ask is that the Prime Minister, the Home Secretary and everybody else in the government gets on the right side of this and does the right thing and makes the changes that keep the two killers behind bars." Friday afternoon, the petition had more than 675,000 signatures. The officer's widow, Lissy Harper, said, "The government has punched us in the gut. They should be ashamed of themselves. Hopefully we can make the current government come to their senses and realise we cannot put people like this back on our streets," she said. "Justice should mean justice and serving the sentence given."
Tips will no longer accept these items. Rubbish Tips will no longer accept certain items in a major change by Oxfordshire County Council, which has seen a new £15 charge introduced. A national crisis in recycling capacity has prompted the county's Household Waste Recycling Centres, HWRCs, to only accept fridges and freezers from Oxfordshire residents. Oxfordshire County Council, which operates the county's seven recycling centres, said it would temporarily stop accepting the items from people living outside the county in order to prioritise Oxfordshire residents. The measure reflects a nationwide shortage of specialist facilities able to process fridges and freezers. This has created a significant backlog across the sector, with some councils around the country suspending acceptance of all fridges and freezers at their recycling centres. Oxfordshire County Council's targeted approach is intended to reduce incoming tonnage and protect limited storage capacity while maintaining the service for Oxfordshire households. The HWRC booking system has been adjusted so that non-Oxfordshire customers can no longer select fridges or freezers when making a booking, and customers with existing bookings will also be contacted to advise them of the temporary restriction. The situation will be kept under close review and the council will continue discussions with its contractor and disposal outlets.
Former care home still for sale 3 years on. A former care home, once rated outstanding, is now on the market for £800,000. Orchard House, located in Harwell, Oxfordshire, was downgraded to inadequate by the Care Quality Commission in 2023 after initially receiving an outstanding rating 4 years prior. The facility, which was a neurological rehabilitation centre 2 years ago, supported up to 10 individuals with conditions such as brain and spinal injuries, strokes, and minimally conscious states. the active care group, which operated Orchard House, expressed disappointment with the 2023 rating. Following the last inspection, the CQC reported a steep decline in standards at the property. Some residents were unable to receive pain relief medication at certain times due to staff not being adequately trained, and care plans were said to be unfinished and contained incorrect information. At the time, the active care group stated they took immediate action to ensure staff had the guidance and information to support the residents at the facility. The exact date of the home's closure remains unclear. The online property listing describes the building as comprising 11 bedrooms, a meeting room, two kitchens, a therapy room, an office, laundry facilities, a basement, and utility provisions. The active care group has been approached for further comment.
Hundreds of jobs at risk for two major UK banks. Redundancies are looming at two UK major banks following a merger deal. Staff at Santander and TSB are facing the job cuts as TSB was taken over by the Spanish-owned bank earlier this year. A source from Santander told The Times that there's going to be an impact on jobs due to the £2.65 billion takeover deal. There are currently around 23,000 people employed by Santander and TSB. However, it's not known how many of these jobs will be affected. Spokeswoman for Santander told The Times they have not yet made operational decisions on jobs. However, we will ensure that our colleagues are informed of any changes at the appropriate time. TSB has already announced that it will make 130 people redundant following the acquisition. Spokesperson for TSB said, "Whenever we make any changes to our business, the priority is to consult first with impacted colleagues to ensure they're fully supported." Banks also have drawn attention for telling staff they need to be in the office 3 days a week from April 2027. TSB did not previously require staff to work from the office for a set number of days. So there are Santander stores in Abingdon, Bicester and Whitney. Meanwhile, there are TSB branches in Whitney and Wantage. The bank also operates a pop-up location in Chipping Norton. Santander UK has pledged not to shut any more branches across its network.
Horrid Henry voice actor to meet fans. Horrid Henry's voice actor is set to meet fans at a Comic Con event next month. Lizzie Waterworth has voiced the title character in the children's TV series for 13 years, appearing across all 250 episodes broadcast between 2006 and 2019. She will meet fans at the Whitehorse Leisure and Tennis Centre in Abingdon on Sunday, September the 7th. The BAFTA-nominated voice actor was shortlisted for Best Performer at the British Academy Children's Awards in 2019 for her work as Henry. She also played Nitty Nora, the school nurse, in the 2011 live-action film Horrid Henry, the movie. Away from the mischievous animated schoolboy, Ms. Waterworth's credits include Alpha Blocks, Bob the Builder, The Backyardigans, Angela Ballerina, The Next Steps, Franklin, Clifford's Puppy Days, and the stop-motion film Strike. AbbeyCon is held by Rob Turner and Trooper Events. A statement from the convention's organisers said, "We're absolutely thrilled to announce that Lizzie Waterworth is joining us at AbbeyCon."
Local postcode wins big in lottery draw. Residents in an Oxfordshire postcode can celebrate after winning big in the postcode lottery draw. The draw, which was announced last Monday, left residents winning £1,000. In Oxfordshire, the winning postcode was 0X143UB. This is Ramsden's Way in Abingdon. The postcode was among 20 winning postcodes announced in the lottery's daily draw. Players living in the winning areas who held a valid ticket for their postcode received £1,000 for each ticket they owned. Subscriptions to the Postcode Lottery support a range of charities across the UK, with a minimum of 33% of ticket sales going to good causes. Every day, 20 postcodes across the country are selected to win £1,000 for every ticket in the postcode.
Families enjoy a community lunch. Staff at Didcot Railway Centre hosted an open day lunch to support the local community. Working in partnership with Sustainable Didcot, Railway Centre next to Didcot Parkway provided the free event for families on low income and for those experiencing struggles during the summer holidays. Following a hot lunch, there were music and art workshops and children's entertainers dressed as the Good Witch and the Marvel superhero Captain America. Di Chesterman of Sustainable Didcot said, "The aim was to give children and their parents or carers a happy holiday memory during tough times. We provided a delicious lunch with food from the Fair Share charity, entertainment provided by local groups and professional entertainers, and pointed families in the direction of services that can help them financially, such as the local repair cafe and Library of Things." Didcot Railway Centre provides steam train rides for visitors, and other attractions include a shop, a museum, a cafe and an engine shed. Thousands of steam rail enthusiasts visit the centre every year. So time now for a few notice board items. Quite a number of deaths this week, unfortunately. I'll run through them now. Jennifer Beryl, who was born Hunter, she was 89. James Anthony Francis Carter, better known as Jim. Pamela Joyce Dunning, who was 96. Ingrid Eaton, who was 91. Era Eleanid Hoare, who was 85. Phil McKean, 63. Ronald James Moore, known as Ron, who was 92. Peter Frederick Peck, who was 89. Christopher Pollard. Martin Roger Smith, who was 92, Patricia Ann Stone, and the Reverend Canon Peter Turbitt, who was 82. I should just add that Martin Roger Smith was a much loved local councillor as well, and will be much missed, actually. Our thoughts and our prayers are with all of those who grieve at this time. I'd also like to just remind you about the My Vision charity, which supports visually impaired and blind people across Oxfordshire. I looked at the website earlier today, and there are sessions coming up for the Abingdon Social Group, the Didcot Walking Group, and in Wantage, the Social Group, they've got a Friends and Family Visual Impairment Awareness Training session. They've also got a pub social coming up. So if any of those things interest you, suggest you check out their website or get someone to do it for you for the full details of those activities. And the website address, again, www.myvision.org.uk. So we now continue with an article about a major development at a local arts centre.
Centre to get solar panels and pumps. Solar panels and air source heat pumps are set to be installed at a popular arts centre. The green upgrade is taking place at Cornerstone Arts Centre in Didcot, operated by South Oxfordshire District Council, as part of a project to reduce carbon emissions and operating costs. Peter Paul Barker, Cabinet Member for Finance and Property Assets at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "I am delighted to see this work begin at Cornerstone. It is our ambition to reduce carbon emissions in the district and in council operations. By making these changes to our art centre in the heart of Didcot, we will effectively be doing both. Reducing carbon emissions will help tackle climate change, which has been clearly embodied by this long, hot summer. The use of renewable energy at the centre will make it cheaper to run and less vulnerable to sudden rises in energy costs. This will make it sustainable from both a climate and a financial perspective. The project will see contractors begin work on Monday, August 10th, to remove the centre's old gas boilers and install 4 air source heat pumps and 56 solar panels. Upgrades are estimated to save an estimated 55 tonnes of carbon dioxide emissions each year. Work is expected to be completed by the end of the year. Most of the construction activity will take place on the roof and at the rear of the building, meaning minimal disruption for visitors. The scheme is funded through a combination of the Community Infrastructure Levy, the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, and more than £370,000 from the Public Sector Decarbonisation Scheme, PSDS, delivered by Salix. Ian Roger, Director of Public Sector Decarbonisation at Salix, said, "We're delighted to support this project. This work demonstrates the importance in investing in our public buildings to tackle climate change while reducing long-term energy costs. Upgrading Cornerstone with renewable energy technology will help protect this much-loved community venue for future generations, making it more sustainable, resilient and efficient."
Councillor demands action for surgery. A county councillor is calling for work to start at the earliest opportunity on a new GP surgery for Didcot, which has been much delayed. Great Western Park, a 3,300 home estate, is now completed and was initially granted planning permission in 2008, with a new GP surgery included. Although the planning permission for the new surgery dates back about 10 years, there have been repeated delays with the project. In April, a new developer was appointed for the long-delayed surgery after the previous developer pulled out. Woodlands Medical Centre appointed London-based Apsley Henley Med Limited after Assure's proposal for the new surgery was deemed unaffordable. The appointment of the new developer follows action taken by the former NHS Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire and Berkshire West Integrated Care Board to identify an alternative developer, and a project group has now been established. While Didcot and Wantage MP Ollie Glover welcomed the new proposals, Didcot West County Councillor Ian Snowden said it would be premature to celebrate and he would not do so until he sees spades in the ground, construction work underway. He posted on Facebook, "A new developer, Apsley Henley Med Limited, has now been appointed to take the project forward, which is certainly welcome, but I'm going to remain cautious. Residents have been promised this facility for years and have been given one setback after another. So while I welcome this latest development, I want to see spades in the ground and patients walking through the doors rather than another announcement about another process. And with elections next May, I'm sure we can all predict what will happen after Christmas yet again. Plenty of people trying to make wild claims of credit on their leaflets. After years of delays, I think everyone involved in its delivery needs to remember that residents deserve a surgery, not another round of political announcements. Thames Valley Integrated Care Board has established a project group to oversee project delivery and keep progress on track. The group includes representatives from Woodlands Medical Centre, Apsley Henley Med Limited, Vale of Whitehorse District Council, NHS England and the ICB. Their work now focuses on legal agreements, developer funding, contributions and preparations for the construction phase. Mr. Glover said, "It is hugely frustrating that residents in Great Western Park are still waiting for the GP surgery that was promised years ago. The new surgery will relieve increasing pressure on surrounding surgeries and help improve access medical services for Didcot and the surrounding villages. The progress announced is a welcome step forward, but of course there is a lot of catching up to do in ensuring this GP surgery to serve Didcot's growing population is realised. I am in regular contact with the ICB and will continue to push them and the government to ensure that the momentum behind the project continues."
Drivers face further delays for A34 work. Drivers being warned they face further delays as the £36 million scheme to create a new A34 interchange for Abingdon continues. Oxfordshire County Council is working with contractors to create a new interchange for drivers at Lodge Hill, and the project is expected to be completed by the end of the year. The junction at Lodge Hill, north of Abingdon, only has north-facing slip roads, but the upgrade will add new south-facing slip roads. Adding the south-facing slip roads will remove traffic from the town centre, as some drivers will no longer have to travel through it to access the A34 southbound at the Marsham interchange. Workmen will manage the traffic on lane closures between the southbound off-slip and Oxford Road to monitor traffic flows, according to the City Council. Traffic lights will be in place 24 hours a day. The existing southbound bus stop on the Oxford Road is being relocated opposite the entrance to the Lodge Hill garage. Oxfordshire County Council said, "Traffic travelling south towards Abingdon will move into the southern arm of the newly constructed south roundabout. Vehicles exiting the A34 via the existing southbound off-slip must give way to traffic coming from the right. Traffic exiting the construction site compound and the Egerton access road will only be allowed to turn left and travel northwards. Vehicles travelling to Abingdon will need to turn around at the newly constructed north roundabout." Abingdon County Councillor Tom Greenaway said, "Please allow extra time for your journey while these works are underway. And if you're travelling overnight, remember that National Highways also has separate maintenance works taking place on the A34 between Peartree and Marsham interchanges." He added, "Thank you for your continued patience while these improvements are completed. After over three decades of local campaigning, when this project is completed, it is anticipated to relieve pressure on congested town centre routes, and your patience is greatly appreciated. Main construction work for the project began on September the 3rd last year, and the whole project is expected to be completed by the end of 2026.
Thames fixing more than 1,000 leaks weekly. Thames Water has confirmed that it is fixing over 1,000 leaks weekly amid a temporary hosepipe ban affecting millions of its customers. A spokesperson for the water company said it is fixing 20% more leaks than normal, or the equivalent of one every 10 minutes. The company has said that the prolonged hot and dry weather puts pressure on the water pipes, with dry ground putting strain on the pipes. At the same time, the company has put the blame on customers as higher demand for water increased, making bursts and leaks more likely. The company also confirmed it has replaced 100 kilometres out of a total of 140,000 kilometres of water mains since April last year, their biggest upgrade in 150 years. Additionally, £500 million has been invested in finding and fixing leaks. The company has just come under fire after CEO Chris Weston said on BBC's Big Boss interview podcast, stated that some of the firm's targets were beyond what they could achieve. He said, "We have to hit a certain level of leakage, but it is so far in excess of what we are capable of doing. I think anyone would be capable of doing, however much money you invested, that it is not going to be achievable. Last year, it was fined a record £122.7 million by regulator Ofwat, largely for breaching sewage spill rules. The company, serving 16 million customers in London and parts of southern England, treats 4.3 billion litres of waste daily.
Highways firm not liable for man's death. A company has been found not liable for the death of an Oxfordshire worker who was killed during Storm Eunice in 2022. Jack Bristow, 23, from Sutton Courtenay, near Abingdon, died after a tree fell on his truck while he was working in Hampshire. He suffered a catastrophic head injury and was pronounced dead at the scene. He left behind his son, Harvey, who was one at the time. Mr. Bristow and driver Callum Smith had left Hook Highways Limited's Wallington Depot at about 7:55 a.m. to remove traffic management equipment across the southeast that could have blown away in severe winds. They were travelling back to Oxfordshire on Old Oldham Road when the accident happened at about 11:43 a.m. His parents, Theresa White and Gary Bristow, brought a claim against the company, arguing it had breached its duty of care by sending him to work during a Met Office red warning for extremely strong winds. However, Judge Irina Sabich, KC, dismissed the claim, saying the risk of death while travelling as part of the assignment was not reasonably foreseeable. She warned against setting a novel standard of care by which negligence could be established against an employer. In her judgment, she said, "My view is that the precautions that the claimants say should have reasonably have taken care are not practical or realistic. The risk of this horrific accident occurring was simply not foreseeable."
Lanterns in memory of Hiroshima. Lanterns were floated in the River Thames in Abingdon in memory of victims of the Hiroshima bomb. Bomb was dropped on the Japanese city by the United States on August 6, 1945, at the end of the Second World War, killing 140,000 people. A visiting teacher from Hiroshima formed links with Abingdon many years ago, and each year on the anniversary, peace campaigners lead a ceremony with lanterns after gathering at St Ethelwald's house, community space with gardens open to the public. Last week, Andrew Skinner, the town mayor, read out a message from the mayor of Hiroshima, and Emiko Urata from Hiroshima, who recently retired from her teaching role, explained the significance of lantern floating. The lanterns were carried in procession to the Thames, and Oxford Seagreen singers and Didcot red kites sang songs as the lanterns were floated. In Japan, many cities have a lantern floating ceremony at this time of year to remember the dead, and this was the third year of the lanterns tribute in Abingdon. Emiko spent 2 weeks in the town learning English many years ago and has maintained contact with her host family here ever since.
Hedgehog dies after being shot. A hedgehog shot with an air rifle died in surgery at an animal sanctuary. Tiggy Winkle's Wildlife Hospital at Haddenham, near Tame, said the small animal was brought in after being found out during the day, struggling to move. It transpired that the hedgehog had been shot with an air rifle but was still alive, leading to surgery. But despite the team's best efforts, the animal died. A statement on the Wildlife Hospital's social media page said, "As many of you know, seeing a hedgehog active in daylight is often a sign that something is seriously wrong. An X-ray revealed the heartbreaking reason as this little hedgehog had been shot with an air rifle. The pellet, clearly visible on the X-ray, had caused devastating internal injuries. Despite our team's best efforts to help, the damage was simply too severe, and sadly, this patient couldn't be saved. Every loss is difficult, but cases like this are particularly heartbreaking. Time and again we see wild animals suffering because of deliberate acts of cruelty, and it is something that never becomes easier to witness. Hedgehogs are one of Britain's most loved and increasingly vulnerable wild mammals. They deserve our protection, not our harm. Your local wildlife crime officer.
Care Home hosts Caribbean Food Festival. An Oxfordshire care home has hosted a Caribbean food festival featuring delicious food and family-friendly entertainment. Charlton Lodge in Wantage held a celebration between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for its residents and their families. Before the event, a spokesperson said, "Join us for our very own food festival as we come together to celebrate the flavours and traditions that make dining so special in our care home. Enjoy delicious food, seasonal favourites and family-friendly entertainment. We'll also be shining a light on sustainability, showing how thoughtful food choices can help us support our community to be more environmentally aware." Charlton Lodge is run by Care UK and is a new purpose-built care home on Buttercup Road in Wantage.
Edna does 100 laps for 100th. Centenarian has completed a 100-lap garden walk to celebrate her 100th birthday. Edna Hardy, a resident of Westgate House Care Home in Wallingford, took on the challenge to raise money for the home's Resident Amenity Fund, which supports activities and outings for residents. Born in Greater London in 1926, Miss Hardy has lived in Wallingford for 67 years and has been a resident at Westgate House since June 2024. She completed her final lap on her birthday, surrounded by fellow residents, Westgate House colleagues and members of the local community. And I should say that the article is accompanied by a photo of a resplendent Edna wearing a crown and a sash with 100 laps on it.
Cafes offer free breakfasts. Lounge cafes are serving up free breakfasts for children throughout the summer. As part of the Little Lounges Breakfast Club scheme, venues including Pinto Lounge in Banbury, Torino Lounge in Borbista, Barrow Lounge in Didcot and Como Lounge in Whitney are offering complimentary bowls of Kellogg's cornflakes, bran flakes or Rice Krispies with a choice of dairy or non-dairy milk until schools reopen in September. The programme is in partnership with Kellogg's and is distributed by Bidfood. Details of participating locations are available at thelounges.co.uk.
Major Blaze sees 8 fire engines attend. A major Oxfordshire blaze near Didcot saw a black smoke plume rise and 8 fire engines called to the scene. The call to Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service came in at 5:43 p.m. on Sunday evening, August the 9th, with reports of a fire at Greenway's landfill site, Appleford Sidings, Sutton Courtney. Black smoke could be seen billowing from a fire at the Didcot landfill site, and this was spotted from miles away in all directions. In a Facebook post, Councillor Ian Snowden, who represents Didcot, said, "A large fire has broken out at the Didcot landfill site this evening, with emergency services currently on the scene. Please avoid the area and keep clear of emergency services while they deal with the incident." 8 fire crews attended the scene, and Royal Berkshire Fire and Rescue also dispatched a multi-terrain water carrier. A new update was provided by Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service on Monday morning, August the 10th. A spokesperson said, "This was a fire involving a large volume of non-hazardous processed landfill and waste material. Attending were 8 crews, 1 high-volume pump, 4x4 vehicles and a water carrier. There was also a multi-terrain water carrier from Royal Berkshire Fire and Rescue. The fire was brought under control. Fire and Rescue have retained a presence on the scene overnight and into Monday."
Gone goozling at Abingdon Lock. This is from the Abingdon blog, I should say. "There are not so many boats passing along the River Thames at Abingdon Lock this summer, and I had to wait 15 minutes before I saw one go through Abingdon Lock at around 4 p.m. Lockkeeper said there had been about 70 boats through today, about half the normal number for a summer's day. On the River Thames, there are, quote, prolonged dry weather restrictions, unquote, at locks upstream and downstream of Abingdon, from St John's Lock to Osney Lock and from Cullum Lock to Goring Lock. Boat movements through these locks are restricted to help conserve water, with one upstream and one downstream passage every 30 minutes. The locks also close overnight from 6 p.m. to 9:30 a.m, so boaters need to plan their journeys accordingly and are also advised to check conditions such as sandbars. These restrictions must put some boaters off. When a boat arrived, it went directly into the lock. The water poured into the lock and the boat rose. Lockkeeper gave the crew some information about places to moor and it set off. Boat was called Tranquility. One of 3 longboats from River Holidays at Sutton Courtney, a local family business, which also has a campsite. So, despite the long, prolonged dry weather and restrictions, there are boats making their way through Abingdon Lock. You just have to wait a little longer to see if you are a gongoozler. Now, if you're as intrigued as I am about that word, I looked it up, and apparently it has to do with watching boats and things in canals. So maybe I have to take issue with the Abingdon blog, but I won't, because they do a really good job. So that was the last news item for this week, and I thank the Herald and other local sources for the items I've used. I also thank the Abingdon blog, and I thank all our volunteers for their time. If you have any comments to make on this production, please phone the Dawn secretary, Karen, on 07939 265 517. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the newspaper, and remember, there are extra items at the end of the recording. So please put the memory stick back in the pouch and post back to us ready for next week. So thank you for listening, and we do hope you're managing to cope with the heat and hope it's cooled down a bit by the time you get to listen to this. And as usual, I like to just save time for a smile at the end. So I pose you this question: why don't scientists trust atoms? Well, it's because they make up everything. So, wherever you are, however you are, please take care and stay cool and stay safe. Bye-bye until next time.